Well, if you've been gone, if you missed last Sunday, you kind of been away, you have missed a ton of exciting things. We came together last week, and this was so awesome. We got to celebrate the news that we found our first non-portable location, and we are so excited about that. Yeah, come on. It's going to be awesome. And like, not only have we found it, but work has already begun and the plans have already started so that we can relocate out of this ballroom and into that location just a mile from here on the corner of Druid Hills and Claremont Road by the end of January, hopefully. That's our target. And so we're just really excited. There's a ton to do, but we think it's going to be so worth it. There's a lot of great things to be excited about. One, and you don't necessarily feel it today because fall break has started, but we're going to be able to double our capacity, which means there's going to be so much more room for so many more people, not only in the adult environment, but especially in all of our kids' environments for preschool and children and students. So it's going to be a much better experience for you and your family. There's going to be no more weird schedules, no more magnets on your fridge wondering, are we meeting or are we not meeting? And did I mention we're not going to be portable anymore, which is so awesome. And all of that is incredible. But I don't think any of that's the best news. In fact, the thing that gets me most excited, and I think what probably gets you most excited as well, is that we're doing all of this so that our community can experience better, right? Better, so they can know that like better marriages or better relationships or just honestly a better life with less regrets is possible, so that students and adults and children can understand that they can make better decisions and live life with fewer regrets. I mean, how many of you now as adults are looking back going, man, I wish that I knew then what I know now, and that I could have fewer regrets? And we think that that's possible for our community. So we are so excited about this. We want every single person who calls Decatur City Church their home to participate with us. So we've put together a website. Amber mentioned it at the top of the service. It's better.decaturcity.org. better.decaturcity.org. I would love it if you haven't checked that out, head over there, check it out. You can read all about this move. Also, you can read about how you can get involved financially with us to help us take these steps so that we're ready when it's time to launch in January. So a lot of good things coming our way. But for all of that to happen, and this is kind of where I want to spend our time this morning, for all of that to happen, for our community to know that something better is possible, they first have to hear about it, right? And the best way for them to hear about it is for them to hear about it from you or from me. Which, if I could just be really honest for a second, that makes us all really uncomfortable, right? Like when we start talking about Jesus or we start talking about our church, especially to like our friends or our neighbors, we start thinking about those kind of conversations, we just kind of get nervous, right? And we think, I don't know if I can do that. And if I can be really honest with you for a second, I'm the pastor here, so I don't know what this says about me. But I mean, talking about Jesus and talking about the church, it's just kind of weird, right? Like there's a lot of things we would rather talk about than that a lot of times. I mean, I am thinking seriously about changing barbers because all the barbers at this shop I go to found out that I'm a pastor, and now that's all they want to talk about. And so, like, I can't even go there and hang out for 30 minutes without talking about that. And sometimes I would just honestly like to talk about football or anything other than that. And I get it. Like, talking about Jesus or trying to explain Jesus to other people, it can be difficult. Like, trying to explain why we think that our local church is such a big deal, like, that can be difficult. Like, even if it's made our life better. Like, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with that. It just is kind of hard. But here's what's fascinating to me. Like when it comes to other things in life, like the other things in life that we get really passionate about, the other things that we get really excited about, like we have no problem talking about those things, right? Like where are all of my big green egg people? How many of you have one of these things? Yeah, right? Like you're casually raising your hand. Like you can't stop talking about it the rest of the time of the year. And I get it. Like, it's the ultimate cooking experience, am I right? I mean, I got up yesterday super early, smoked an entire pork shoulder all day long. It was unreal. And all of you who don't have one, you don't get it. Like, you have no idea. And I just want every single one of you to know the pure cooking joy that is spending an entire Saturday just smoking whatever meat you choose to. Like, it's just, it's unreal. And as soon as I had one, I wanted everybody to experience it. And I know the rest of you, you're like that because I see it all the time. I hear you talk about it all the time. Or here's another one. What's up with all you CrossFit people? Yeah, right? It's like the, yeah, I see ya. It's like the rest of us, it's like we don't even work out if it's not CrossFit. I mean, just because I don't carry some like 200-pound bowling ball while I'm running up and down the street or something, like it's just, it's crazy. Like if you don't rip the calluses off of your hands and you're not actually working out, right? But like, seriously, if you're into that, you want everybody to be into it, right? Like you just want everybody to experience that because you have so much fun either with the workout or the community that you experience it, and you want everybody to know that joy, so you talk about it a lot. I'll tell you what mine is, and you have to promise not to judge me because it's the like antithesis of CrossFit. Mine is the fried chicken over at Revival in Decatur, am I right? How many of you have eaten at Revival in Decatur? Yeah, a lot of hands. You know what I'm talking about. Guys, this is the best fried chicken I've ever eaten in my entire life. Like, and don't tell my grandmother that, but it is way better than anything I've ever had before. And as soon as I tried this, I wanted everybody to have it. Like, Laurie and I will take people there, and I literally bully them into ordering the fried chicken. Like, I won't let them order anything else. It's so good. They have a special Sunday version. You know what it's called? Closed on Sunday chicken. Take that, Chick-fil-A. We don't need to wait for you to open back up until Monday. Like, it's awesome. You can get it in Decatur. You can get it at Mercedes-Benz. It is unreal. And as soon as I had it, I wanted everybody to experience it because that's how we get introduced to new things. We talk about it. We come across things that are better, and then we can't help but talk about it. We talk about them to the point that other people try them. Y'all, I have a pair of obscenely expensive sunglasses right now that I have no business owning. You know why I own them? Because my brother-in-law got a pair, and he started talking about how incredible these things were, and he started to describe to me how he could see down into the water and see the fish, and how it made fishing so easy. And I thought, well, that just sounds incredible. Like, I gotta have some of those. I don't fish, like, but man, I own the glasses, and they're awesome. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because you found yourself in this conversation before. You've had the same one. It goes like this. Either you've had it with somebody or somebody has had this conversation with you. You pick up the phone, you're like, yo, dude, I just bought, like I just ate at, I just ran into, I just tried, and you have got to come experience this thing. You have got to try this as well. Like you are missing out. And you know why we do that? We all do that, and we all have that exact same conversation because we know that with most things in life, when it comes to like especially new things or things we're trying to get people to try, that they just need to be experienced. Like we know that we just can't explain it enough. That like in fact, if we try to explain it, it's probably gonna make things weird. And so we just end up just saying, hey, you have got to try these, whether it's food or a hotel or a vacation or something, it's anything, just hey, you have got to come and try it. I know I can't explain this to you. Come experience this. And here's the thing. The truth is, it's really not that different when it comes to spiritual things. It's honestly not that much different when it comes to Jesus. In fact, we could learn a lot from the people who would be considered the first followers of Jesus because the first followers of Jesus didn't actually try to explain Jesus. If you've ever tried to explain him, chances are you found yourself in the midst of like an insanely awkward conversation. You probably found yourself trying to answer questions that you didn't know were questions. You probably walked away thinking, I don't even know that I like Jesus now. Like it's hard to explain him. But his first followers, they didn't try. They simply invited people to come and experience him instead. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time in the New Testament. I want us to look at one of the Gospels. And if you're kind of new to the New Testament and new to church, there's four Gospels. They're eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. And they're written by four different people. And this morning, I want us to look at the one that's written by a guy named John. And John basically hung out with Jesus. He traveled around with him. He was an eyewitness to his life. And every time he would see something or experience something, he would write it down. He'd be like, oh, that seems important. And he would write that down. Or, oh, people need to know about that. And he would write that down. And what we're going to read this morning is his account of one of the first interactions with Jesus. Now, to kind of get this story, I got to tell you, though, right up front, because this could be confusing. There's two significant Johns when it comes to the New Testament. There's John who wrote what we're going to read, and then there's another John, and his name is John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. You may have heard him referred to. But basically, John the Baptizer was a few months older than Jesus, and he was kind of going around building a crowd, telling people that Jesus was about to come onto the scene. Okay, so we're going to pick up in this story with John the Baptist kind of introducing people to Jesus. So here we go. John, the writer, writes, "The next day, John," that's John the Baptist, "was there again. And he was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Hey, look, there goes the Lamb of God.'" And so at this point, like in the life of Jesus, here's what we know. We know John has at least two followers, and Jesus has zero followers. And so it's kind of like if you're keeping score, it's like John 2, Jesus nothing. And John's building this crowd, and he does something that seems kind of weird if you're trying to build a crowd. He looks to his group of people, and he says, "Hey guys, there goes Jesus. There goes the one that I've been telling you about. There's the one that you should follow." And basically, he calls him the Lamb of God, which seems like an unusual phrase to us. But basically, what John is saying is, hey, here's a couple things you need to know about this guy. One, he's way better than me. Like, he's a better hang than I am. Go follow him. But not only is he better than me, he's better than the current religious system that you're stuck in. You see, the current religious system said they had to sacrifice things or sacrifice animals in order to be close to God. And he says, hey, look, here's the Lamb of God. This is God's ultimate sacrifice. He's God's chosen one. You should follow after him. And so when the two disciples heard him say this, they follow Jesus. Which when I read that, I think of like the spiritual sense, like all of a sudden he like became their teacher and they started following. But John would go on to tell us it's not that dramatic. It's actually far less dramatic than that. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and he asked, "What do you want?" So like literally, they just started creepily following him. Like the guy does like down the street that you're like, "Hey dude, what's up?" Like, you know, and Jesus does what you and I would do. He kind of looks over his shoulder and he's like, what do you want, guys? And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, where are you staying? Which seems like an unusual question because they've just met. But basically what they're asking is, hey, we hear a lot about you. We're not understanding what we're hearing. Like, where are you staying? Can we come hang out with you for a little while? Can we kind of come get to know you? And Jesus just looks back at them and he says, "Well, come on, and you will see where I'm staying." So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent that day with him, which is really kind of cool. Like basically they followed Jesus because Jesus simply invited them to come and see what he was all about. He didn't try to explain anything at this point. He didn't try to convince them. He just said, well, come on. If you want to know what I'm about, just come on, just kind of come follow me. And apparently, according to John, they ended up spending the entire day with Jesus. And we honestly have no idea what happened during this day, but when I read things like this, my imagination kind of starts going crazy. Like, it starts going wild. I start thinking about what in the world did they experience this afternoon with Jesus? And honestly, we don't know, but maybe they sat down at wherever he was staying, and maybe Jesus said, "Hey guys, you want to know what I'm about? Well, if you stick with me, you're going to see some pretty incredible things. In fact, guys, in a couple of days, we're going to end up at a wedding. And guys, it's going to be like the party of the year. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big deal, but something bad's going to happen. Like, too many people are going to show up, and they're going to run out of wine. I know, big deal. It's kind of a drag. But guess what? I'm gonna save the day, and I'm gonna do something nobody's ever done. I'm gonna turn water into wine, and the party's gonna continue." And I imagine the guys are like, "What? Like party tricks? Like that's what you're about?" And he, no, I can't explain it to you guys. You just gotta hang with me. Just come and see. But I gotta warn you, you're gonna see better things than that. Like if you stick with me, the lame are gonna walk again. The blind are gonna see again. The deaf are going to hear again. Wait a minute. Jesus, like party tricks and you're gonna heal people? I don't get it. I know, guys, I can't explain this to you, but I promise you, if you don't come and see this, if you don't follow me, you're gonna miss it and you'll never believe it because it's too good to believe. It's just too big. You can't possibly get your mind around it. In fact, it's bigger than that. You're gonna meet this guy and he's awesome. His name's Lazarus. He's an amazing dude. But something bad's gonna happen to Lazarus. Lazarus is gonna get sick. I mean, like really sick. And guys, Lazarus is gonna die and we're not gonna be there. But in a couple of days, we're gonna show up and I'm gonna raise that guy from the dead. And at this point, I just imagine the guys being like, I can't get my mind around that. And Jesus saying, I know. Like, you can't get your mind around what's going to happen. It's going to be so incredible, but you have got to come and see it because you'll never believe it if you don't experience it. And I don't know if that's how that conversation went or not. I mean, the conversation could have been as simple as Jesus looking at these guys. I mean, you have to imagine these guys had no life. They had no hope. They were literally surviving. And when you're surviving, you can't even dream. I mean, they didn't think about tomorrow. They were just trying to get through the day. And maybe he just talked to them about how much better following him would be than what they were doing. We have no idea, but apparently whatever they talked about, it was so good that not only are we still talking about it today, but they couldn't shut up about it. Like, in fact, as soon as it was over, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus, the first thing that Andrew did was he went and he found his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found him, Simon. Simon, we have found the one that is the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he literally brought him, he drug him to meet Jesus, which every single one of us can relate to, right? Like, you've been driving through Atlanta, and the movie scene's pretty hot in Atlanta right now, right? And you can't drive anywhere without accidentally ending up on a set. And what do? As soon as you do, you start looking to see what movie it is, and to see who you can run into, and to see if you can find a celebrity. And if you do, you immediately pick up the phone. "Yo, dude, you have got to get down here. You're not gonna believe who's down here. In fact, I will come get you and I will bring you down here because you have got to come and see this. This is so unreal." And that's exactly what Andrew did. He was just like, "Man, you're not gonna believe it. I spent one day with this guy. I know we've been waiting generations. I know we just like thought the Messiah would never come, but this is him. I'm convinced after one afternoon. Get down here, come and see who we met." Well, the next day, so the following day after all that, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Hey, Philip, you follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. All right, so John tells us a couple of things here that are pretty significant, but he kind of leaves out some detail that I think makes this a little bit more dramatic. Jesus has decided the next day after meeting these two fellows, Andrew and Philip, and most scholars believe that Philip was the other one of the followers who hung out with Jesus that day. Jesus decides, "Hey, we're gonna take this show on the road and we're gonna take off and we're gonna head to Galilee." What John doesn't tell us, Galilee is over 60 miles away from where they are. And there's no Uber. I mean, there's no cars, like they are walking there. And so Jesus goes and finds Philip, who he's only known for just a couple of hours at this point. And he says, "Hey, Philip, I want you to come with me on this journey. Let's go together all the way to Galilee." Now, to put this in perspective, that would be like us deciding to leave here this morning and taking off and walking to Lake Lanier and back. That's 60 miles. According to Google Maps, it's gonna take us about 24 hours to do that. But we're gonna leave right after here. But it's even more bizarre than that. It would be like me looking at all of you who this was your first time at Decatur City and me saying, "Hey, we're so glad that you're here today. We think the best way for you to kind of get to know us and for us to get to know you is for us to go on a little trip together. So right after here, all of you first-time guests, we're gonna take a 24-hour hike together. I know we don't know each other. I know you're not sure if you're in yet, but we're gonna go and walk all the way to Lake Lanier and back." Like, you would run from this place. and probably never come back because that's a terrible strategy. But Philip doesn't do that. Philip hears this and he goes and he finds Nathanael and he told him, and I love what Philip does. He's so excited now. Philip goes, hey, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. We found Jesus of Nazareth. We found the son of Joseph. And you can hear him starting to try to explain Jesus to Nathanael. And Nathanael's response is priceless. He goes, Nazareth? Like, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked. And apparently Nathanael was pretty familiar with the region, and he knew, like, nothing good had ever come out of Nazareth. Like, this would be like you know, going to your neighbor and saying, I have found the most unbelievable restaurant. I mean, it's the epitome of farm to table. Like, the food is so fresh, it's unreal. And the service, oh my goodness, the service is just like, and the patio and the ambiance and the experience, and you just have to come with me to this restaurant. Your neighbor's like, man, I'm in. Like, where are we going? Oh, it's in Canton. You'd be like, Canton? Like, I'm not driving to Canton. There's no way I'm gonna go all the way. Like, no wonder it's farm to table. It's like probably on the farm. Like, we're not gonna go out there, right? And I love what Philip does. It's the exact same thing you would do in that situation if you were convinced that they needed to. Philip, I think, imagines, wait a minute, what am I doing? There's no way I can explain this. Like, there's no way I can help you understand that. Nathanael, just come and see. Nathanael, just come and experience this. And that's how the first followers became followers of Jesus. John just simply pointed him out. Jesus invited Andrew and Philip, just come and see, just come and experience me. Andrew invited Peter. Peter, you've got to see this. You're never gonna believe it. Philip invites Nathanael. Nathanael, I can't explain it to you. I know nothing good has ever come from Nazareth. I know this is hard to believe, but Nathanael, just come and see. They didn't try to explain it. They just simply invited their friends to come and see it. It's because from the very beginning, their goal was never to explain something. Their goal was simply for people to experience someone. Now, when Jesus died and he left the earth, he did something super strange. And this is kind of hard for us to get our minds around, but this is a big deal for us. When Jesus left the earth, he looked at his followers and he said, hey guys, from now on, when you invite people to come and see me, when you invite people to come and experience me, from here on out, you are inviting them to experience not me, but you. You're inviting them to experience you because you, whether you're gathered together or whether you're scattered all about, you are what I call the church. And you represent me. And I know this is crazy, and I know this doesn't make sense, guys, but it's far better this way. Like, it's better for me to leave. It's gonna be more powerful, more effective. You are inviting people to experience you as you represent me from now on, from here on out. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad. I know for me personally, I am so glad somebody, as an adult, invited me to experience a community like this, to experience a gathering like this that we call the local church. You see, you know, most of you know my story. You know, I didn't grow up in church, but what you may not know is that as an adult, I reached a point in life where I was about done with church. You see, I had been to church. I had experienced church. I had worked at the church. And I had come to the place, and Laurie had come to the place where we weren't quite sure that this was even the best way to raise our family or the best thing for our family. We were just about done because everything we had experienced as adults just kind of confirmed why I didn't go to church as a kid. So when somebody starts inviting me and they start telling me about this community of people where nobody has it together, where everybody can just kind of be themselves, where you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to have all the answers, you can just show up and you'll be accepted as you are. When they started explaining that to me, that seemed way too good to be true. When they started telling me about teaching that was so practical and so helpful that you would know how to apply it and it would actually change your life, I that's too good to be true. And I really thought they were crazy when they started telling me about these environments where your kids would love it. In fact, they would love it so much that they would be begging you to go to church on Sunday. Like, that had never been our experience as adults. Our kids were never begging us to go to church on Sunday. And so when they told me all that, I just pushed back. I'm like, no, that can't be true. I don't get it. And finally, they just said, hey, would you just come and see it? Like, would you just come and experience this? And guys, I am so grateful that they did. I am so thankful that that person just invited me to come and see something that was different and bigger and better than I could have ever possibly imagined. Because of that experience, this experience exists. But it's far bigger and far more personal than that for me. You see, because of that experience, I love Jesus more than I ever thought was possible. I have healthier, better relationships with my wife and my kids than I ever thought was possible. Like, because of that experience, my life has more meaning and more purpose, and it has nothing to do with what I do. It has everything to do with who God says that I am. And it's all because somebody didn't try to explain something to me. Somebody didn't try to convince me of something. They didn't try to convert me or change my beliefs. They just simply said, would you come and experience something? And I ended up experiencing way more than something. I experienced someone. I experienced Jesus, and he forever changed my life. And the details of the story may be different for you, but I imagine somehow, in some way, the same is true for you. Somebody invited you to just come and see. And I imagine you are so grateful and so thankful that you did. In fact, I bet you're not harboring any guilt or any resentment or frustrated at that person at all. You are so thankful they did. And that's why from the very beginning, and that's why from now on, our church has just been built on this simple yet profound invitation that Jesus offered to you and to I so many years ago. Just come and see. You don't have to have it all figured out. Like, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to get cleaned up or dressed up. Just come and see. You can bring your doubts to me. You can bring your concerns. You can bring your fears. Just come and experience me. And that's what we've always been about around here. And that's why we're relocating. That's why we're raising all this money. That's why we're renovating and taking an old revitalized space and making it new again, not just so that it will be better for you and for me and for our family and for those of us that are here, but so it will be better and easier than ever for you to invite your neighbors to see that life really could be better and really is better when we follow Jesus. So that it will be easier than ever for you to invite your coworker or your neighbor or your family to see that their marriage, that their relationships really can be better. So that it would be easier than ever for our city to see that Jesus is far better than we ever could have imagined. From day one, we've said that we would do whatever it would take for people to drive by and think, hey, this city is better because Decatur City Church is here. But all of that hinges on your willingness and on my willingness to simply invite those who are closest to us to just come experience something far better than they could have possibly imagined. And I gotta be honest with you, I think you're about to have the perfect opportunity to do that. You're about to have the perfect opportunity because there is so much excitement, there's so much energy, so many people are talking in our city about what's happening. It's never gonna be easier than it will be over the next couple of months, over the next couple of weeks, and as we prepare for this relaunch in January. It'll never be easier than to invite people just to come and see. Just come experience Jesus because he's far better than you could possibly imagine. Come experience the one who gives us hope. Come experience the one who redefined for us what love is all about. Just come and see.